This is On the Ground Ipsy, a special pledge drive edition here on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And the emphasis really today, again, is on community and the communities that we serve and the partners we serve those communities with. And this is a good news, bad news, almost a little bit of fond farewell coming here. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the good work that's going on the Ground Ipsy from Concentrate Media will continue in the absence of Brianna Kelly. Hi, Brianna.
Hello. It's very bittersweet.
It is
it's
bittersweet.
Our last WME recording together.
But we've got a great guest for today. You got a great topic to talk about. We will, at the end here, chat a little bit about your giant future plans and introduce the audience to our new On the Ground Ipsy partner at WEMU that we, again, are very happy to be the media partner for this project. Talk a little bit about the project again. Give us the summary of maybe just, you know, the 30,000 view of what you've done over the last 18 months and what's going to continue once you depart for bigger, grander pastures.
Well, I've had the opportunity to meet so many incredible people in the community and hear the wonderful things that they're doing for their neighborhoods and their city or township at large. And really just trying to highlight those positive community stories.
Yeah.
And it's really been a privilege to be able to do that.
And make no mistake, this isn't rah-rah, siskimba, Ypsilanti is the greatest place on earth. This is, hey, you know what? There's problems in this community, but let's talk about the people, a lot of them, working to make our community better. I think too often we focus solely on the problem and don't acknowledge that there's a whole lot of people in this community that love it enough to devote their lives to making Ypsilanti better. And we hear from a lot of those. And I think we're going to hear from somebody that's, again, involved in trying very hard to make Ypsilanti better this morning. Who did you talk to this week?
So we talked to Nat Alston, who is the co-founder and chairman of the National Association of African Americans in Human Resources. And there are a lot of parallels between Nat and a lot of the other guests we've brought on the show. But the difference is that he is based in Maryland.
Okay.
And so he is, you know, not a resident of Ypsilanti, and it works with a national organization, and he came to Ypsilanti, the destination Ann Arbor, got NAAAHR to bring their conference here, and instead of just coming to bring the conference, they also found many ways to get involved in the community. So this is a special story of an outside organization and an outside individual getting very, very involved in the community in a positive way.
Yeah, and choosing Ypsilanti for some of the unique qualities that this community has to offer, I'm sure. Welcome, Nat. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Thanks so much for getting involved in the community here from outside. As Brianna mentioned, you're in Maryland. But first, introduce our audience. Tell us, what is the National Association of African Americans in Human Resources, and why does it exist?
Well, the name basically says what we are. We are African Americans who are in HR, and we basically are HR practitioners. And the organization now is celebrating its 20th anniversary. So we were started back in 1998. And really, it was a group of about 12, what we call Black Human Resource Network chapters. They were loosely connected either by relationships or by close proximity here on the East Coast. And we were formed by those individuals that represented those particular chapters and cities. And we met in Orlando, Florida, and as a result of that meeting, we decided we need to really collaborate and connect and really change the name and change the focus. So once we did that, it started out with about 16 people, all with type A personalities, as we laugh about, and it evolved to about 12 that were committed. And as you see, and we'll see next week, 20 years later, we're now in about 30 cities and well over 15,000 members. So it was a dream and a vision of about 12, and we've now seen it nurture into what I just said, and now we're celebrating our 20th anniversary.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Nat. I mean, obviously this is an important venture for you, something you're devoting your life to, but how did you end up where you're at? You know, I'm assuming you were working in HR, or you're still working in HR, and what was the need you saw?
Well, you're answering that both. It's yes and yes. I'm still in HR. I have a consulting firm doing HR work. And I've been in HR for many, many years. And it's a passion. And once you get into human resources and dealing with people, it was just a evolutionary passion that things just happened in my career. I've worked with a variety of companies. But but I've stayed in the HR field and met so many tremendous people, and it just evolved. The career basically is something that I think you go back and say one of the things that makes it so great is that I'm doing what I love to do.
We just saw research come out today about the odds that a woman will be successful if she has peer mentors that happen to be women in the STEM career fields, especially in research and PhD and doctoral studies. We constantly hear about the need for peer groups that especially younger people identify better with, you know, people they look like, to be perfectly blunt about it. There's a certain level of trust that exists there, and I think there's also a certain level of understanding that your backgrounds probably might be similar in the challenges you faced, even if you come from disparate income backgrounds, disparate neighborhoods, that some of the challenges you faced in your career are going to be things you can share with, and there's a community that develops around that. What were the needs you saw in your profession, and what needs are you filling now with the organization? You know, what did you really want? I don't want to presume that you looked around and didn't see a lot of people that looked like you working in your office and thought, wow, you know what, something's got to be done to increase the diversity here. But, you know, was that the kind of a thought process?
That was a thought process really in the beginning too. Many of us were members of the Society for Human Resources, and that was SHRM. And when we attended a lot of those events, it would be populated probably 4,000 or 5,000 people. And to be quite candid, we didn't see too many of people that looked like us. So you're absolutely right. That was one of the driving forces of us forming this national organization. And the fact that, too, we had chapters, or shall we say local groups, in about 12 cities on the East Coast here and also in Detroit that really didn't connect. And it was our DC chapter that really brought us all together down in Orlando, Florida back in 1997, and we really kicked it off in 1998. But you're basically right, it was a level of not so much maybe trust was there, but that peer group where you could do the mentoring. You could actually let your hair down, and if you were going through your career and working at a particular company and you thought you were isolated, this became basically a support group for you. You could talk to us where you couldn't maybe talk to someone else, either your boss or your peer at your respective company, but you had people who were probably going through the same exact thing that you were going through, whether it was good, positive, or whatever, and they came together, shared those experiences, shared those particular incidences, and they found out, wait a minute, I'm not alone. I've got a support group. And that mentoring piece, where people like myself and others who experienced that and navigated through it could go back and share their experiences and techniques and maybe ideas of how you can cope, what avenues will be open for you to really thrive and survive. So it was an outgrowth of all of that, in addition to really developing people to move up the career ranks within the HR field.
So you're also looking to inspire the next generation and say, hey, just because you look around and you might not see a lot of people of color in this profession right now, we're here and we're supportive and we have a goal of bringing people in regardless of their background. We just want talented people that are interested in this type of service.
That's true. And basically, even though when it says African-Americans, we are open to any and all ethnic groups that are strategically aligned with our goals and objectives. And that's really the perpetuation of people entering in the field and making sure that they reach their potential in the HR field. Sure, there's an emphasis on color. Sure, people of color. And also you mentioned too, the young people, the millennials. We definitely want to make sure that there's a succession plan, that if they're thinking about entering into the field of human resources, they can call on people that have got a little bit more experience that can play that mentoring, that support role, and help them navigate this maze of HR. So that's one of the things that we really want to build ingredients by having organization.
Tell us, so let's kind of like look at this local area. What put Ypsilanti on your radar? You know, what made you think, hey, let's do a conference there? You know, what really brought you to town?
Well, I got to give all the credit to a guy by the name of Leo Cartier. And if he hears his name, he's going to always blush. he was the one, and I tell the story, that really reached out to us, because normally in our past conferences, we usually go to larger cities. So to bring us to Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, I really, as chairman, I really had a big question mark and an exclamation point saying, Ann Arbor, wait a minute, let's think of it. So they invited us up, and really we were absolutely just astounded with the hospitality that was shown to us by Destination Ann Arbor, the people of Ypsilanti. And after meeting the people, and we being human resource people, that really touched us. And to really take a tour of Ypsilanti, the issues that were that Ypsilanti was facing, and meeting some of the key people there, they shared their story, and it resonated with us. And we made a decision of saying, look, traditionally, and you said it, we have taken our conferences to larger cities. Once we're there, the conference is over, we leave. This was a little unique in the situation where we met some great, great people. They shared their need. Again, it resonated with us. And we made a commitment to say, look, we're going to give back. So this is brand new to us in terms of giving back to a community of Ypsilanti. We fell in love with the people. We're committed to now trying to make a difference on a national level. And also we're trying to make a difference by bringing in our state of Michigan chapter, which is headquartered in Detroit, to make sure that the goals that we've set in signing the MOU, particularly with the Ypsilanti Community Schools, we can enter into a long-range agreement to make a difference in the community, not just in the schools, but with the police department and others in there. So by meeting them, I can't stress it enough, by meeting them, the people up there, and I've really fallen in love up in Ypsilanti. I come up there at least once a week, one week per month, and I've been doing that now since November. And this is to ensure that the ideas and the goals and the initiatives that we put forward will basically take hold and make a difference in the community.
What are your top issues that you see that, you know, you're got a hand in now with the NAAAHR? You know, what are the goals? I mean, do you have kind of a mission or a vision for this community?
We do, and really, I've got to give the outgoing superintendent, Dr. Ben Edmondson, the credit. He was the one, when we met with him, he outlined three initiatives that have resonated with us. The first one being student achievement, particularly an emphasis on Black student achievement. The second one was really parent involvement, whether it's PTA or any type of parent engagement. And the third initiative, was business and community engagement.
So how do you, I mean, I know it's been a relatively short time here, but it sounds like you're feeling embraced by the community, and I would hope that would go along with some feelings of initial success here, that you're on the right path.
We think so. We basically have started now two of the initiatives that really we're excited about in terms of parent involvement and community involvement. We've created and we basically have formed it on best practices. I come from, as Brianna said, from Maryland. I live in between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and we're blessed to have a very highly regarded school system here. So we've taken some of the best practices back here, particularly one being a Council of Elders, which is a group of community leaders and influential people, people that are well-respected in Ypsilanti, to bring them together to form a Council of Elders. And their main goal is to support the schools from a parent, from a community activist standpoint, and really provide the guidance and the, shall we say, the examples of what communities can do and people can do in the local community. So we're excited about that. It's called the Council of Elders. It's modeled after the similar program here in the school district that I live and my children have attended. So we're excited about that. The next one that really hits the students right there is the Black Student Achievement Program. And we're implementing that. It's still in its embryonic stages. We're laying the groundwork. But that's also bringing in the best practices of one of the top school systems. And We basically have used that as a bridge. I've connected with the school system here in Maryland, and some of the key people that are assigned to their student achievement program has offered to be volunteers as it relates to technical assistance. So if the school district there in Ypsilanti needs any technical assistance, they can call on this school district here in Maryland, and they'd be willing to provide that over the phone to help them guide, with the ultimate goal to really increase student achievement and increase the graduation rates.
Are you involved at all at the college level with Eastern Michigan or U of M? What are your plans there?
Well, at Eastern Michigan, our president, Wim Rolak, and I, back in March with the athletic department, we did a really resume writing and a career information seminar. These were focusing on the athletic department's graduating seniors and some juniors that were either in the football program, the soccer program, the lacrosse program. So we met with them to really have a question and answer program where the students wanted to know about what are the career fields, how would I basically interview, what are interviewers and recruiters looking for. So we've reached out to them, and we're going to have that as an ongoing program in the fall. And at our conference coming up there next week, we've got some student volunteers from EMU, from the graduate side of it, as well as the undergrad in HR, and they're going to assist us as volunteers at our conference.
I always call it the MS Hot Rod, because at Eastern it's the Master of Science in Human Resources and Organizational Development, the MSHROD. It looks like MS Hot Rod. But I know we've got a great community of future HR people here, but it sounds like you're doing a couple of different things, which is, you know, encouraging the next generation of leaders in HR, but you're also putting current HR people out there just helping whoever might need a leg up with dealing with HR, you know, in the future, and helping them in the process of finding a career or finding a job or getting in front of somebody and answering questions. For somebody that's never done that before, that can be quite intimidating, and I'm hopeful that you're finding that you're easing some of that stress with these students that are looking to get out there in the world and start their careers in whatever field they might be going into.
Yeah, and that's so true. That's why the volunteers, we've got one of our key members on our board is meeting with the students, I think, either on Thursday morning to really familiarize them with the conference so they won't be intimidated, because we've got some high-powered people there, but we're all human resource people. We've walked in those shoes before. We remember when it was just like in college with us, and the intimidation of meeting a senior vice president or a director of HR. No, that's one of the things that I think is one of the hallmarks of our organization. We're regular people, and we're going to make it as easy as possible and as comfortable as possible, so that entry-level student there can find that comfort level. And the idea, too, of having millennials there, this is not just what we would call a seasoned HR conference. We've got a lot of millennials there. We've got a student ambassadors program where we've identified students from a variety of colleges. EMU is one, UM is another, Michigan State too, around in the state of Michigan, as well as some of the other colleges that we've had a relationship with. So they're going to be on hand too. So this is a time for these students to also get together, because we block some time at the conference where they can share their experiences. And on the flip side, we will be the ones listening to them.
This is Ned Elston, the chairman and co-founder of the National Association of African Americans and Human Resources, talking about a conference that will be held in our community in Ypsilanti next week. If people are interested in that, they want to find you, they want to get involved, they just want to learn more about your organization, what's the easiest way to do that?
Easiest way is on the website, and that's www.naaahr.org.
And it's not too late to get involved next week. If you even just want to attend, or you want to, you know, see what's going on, I'm sure you got information about the conference there as well.
It's right there on the website, and you said it right. It's not too late. They can even register the day of.
Nat, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being part of the community here. You know, I know you're an interloper coming all the way from Maryland, but we always welcome people that have our community's interests at heart, and it sounds like you definitely do.
We do, and we're looking forward to meeting all the people, the great people up there. As I said earlier, very quickly, Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor have basically carved out a place in our hearts, and we definitely are there for the long haul.
Thanks so much for being here with us today, Nat. I'm going to stick you on hold for a second while we introduce you to a new person, but just wanted to remind you again, this is the coverage from Concentrate Media as part of their On the Ground IFC project. You could find it at concentratemedia.com. You could find it on Facebook. You could find it linked over at our website, WEMU.org. Don't worry. You don't have to remember all these different links and addresses. You can always find the content that we provide you at WEMU.org, and it opens up to a great partner world, and we've been super excited about this ongoing partnership, and as we said, it's kind of time to say adieu to the original gangster coming in here, Dick. You know, yeah, the OG on the ground coverage person. Always, see, OG stands for on the ground in this case.
OTG.
Yes, yes, the OTG, Brianna, whose name it took me 6 months to remember, but eventually
we
I did.
Got
and,
there.
You know, but she's going on to bigger and better things. That's the world of journalism, and sometimes a great talent has to go to a bigger pond, and Chicago's definitely going to be lucky to have you there.
The other side of the pond, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that little lake in between us. But we're sad to see you go, but happy that you're making a big step forward in your career, and excited for you. So stay in touch,
thank
please.
Thank you. I will. And I really just want to say thank you to everyone who supported me throughout the last year. And I'm truly sad to leave this community, but this is not goodbye. It's see you later. I'll be back. So.
Yep. And you're not putting a newbie in your place. You're putting somebody that's been part of our community for decades into the seat here. A lot of pressures on Sarah. Welcome, Sarah. Hello.
Hi.
This is Sarah Rigg, and she will be the voice you're hearing alongside mine. But more importantly, she'll be the one out in the community doing the legwork to create these incredible pieces that have been put together, and a seasoned journalist, and we all have faith and certainly in her abilities to know our community. So welcome, Sarah. Give us the little spiel on yourself and tell us why we should all be so comfortable that you are now going to be the one taking over this project.
Well, thanks. Brianna has just done a wonderful job, and I can tell the community loves her, so I have some big shoes to fill. But I have been reporting on the Ypsilanti area and Washtenaw County in general for a long time. I've been in journalism my entire life, since my high school newspaper, and I've lived in Ypsilanti area since 1999 in the township in West Willow since 2000. So I'm pretty familiar with the area, and I've already been covering both the city of Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township in my weekly news stories for Concentrate, which is the parent company that runs the On the Ground project.
What are so just off the top of your head, I mean, what are some things you're interested in covering here in the short term? What are things that really pique your interest in our community?
Well, Brianna took me to one of the Park Ridge Community Center meetings earlier this week, and they are just bubbling with ideas of great ways to make a difference in the community.
And
so
things that you would probably acknowledge don't get a lot of coverage in mass media, so that's perfect.
So
that's perfect.
What I'm really looking forward to is covering the positive stories of people trying to make the community a better place, because so much of the coverage by other channels is negative, only when somebody dies, usually in Ypsilanti. So I'm really looking forward to covering new businesses, people doing, you know, starting up nonprofits, all the good news about Ypsilanti. Of course, you know, not just good news. We're going to point out problems, but we really want to focus on solutions as
well. Yeah, and we always acknowledge there are problems here, but I think one of the great things of living in Washtenaw County in general, but specifically in Ypsilanti, is you can't walk down a sidewalk without tripping over a dozen people really trying hard to make this community better for,
absolutely,
you know, in one aspect, whether it's pets or something religious or something to do with homelessness or kids or HR, you know, take your pick. There are people out there seeing the benefits of making our community better together. So we'll be there with you trying to cover those things and letting everyone else know about the great, some of these are very hidden, unfortunately, stories going on in our community. So welcome.
Thank you.
And you're doing a good job so far.
Don't he already remembered your name, so you're off to a good start.
Yeah, you made such a wonderful impression on me. I'll forget it by next week. Don't worry.
I'll have to write it down next week.
And this has been On the Ground IPSY on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti. Again, you can find all this coverage and more at WEMU.org.